saw it was that there was something philosophically wrong with picketing a building that no one except a watchman wanted to enter in any case. It is impossible to keep people out of something they don't want to go into. It can't be done. The chant hadn't worked. An old lady had given him a penny. "Colon, colon, colon! Out, out, out!" shouted Reg Shue happily, waving his placard. "That doesn't sound right, Reg," said Nobby. "Sounds like surgery." He looked at the other placards. Dorfel was holding a large, closely worded text, detailing their grievances in full with references to watch procedures and citing a number of philosophical texts. Constable Visit's sandwich board, on the other hand, proclaimed, "What profiteth a kingdom if the oxen be deflated?" Riddles 2, verse 3. Somehow, these cogent arguments did not seem to be bringing the city to its knees. He turned at the sound of a coach pulling up and looked up at a door which had a crest consisting mainly of a black shield. And above that, looking out of the window, was the face of Lord Vetinari. "Ah, none other than Corporal Nobbs," said Lord Vetinari. At this point, Nobby would have given quite a lot to be anyone other than Corporal Nobbs. He wasn't sure whether, as a striker, he should salute. He saluted anyway on the basis that a salute was seldom out of place. "I gather you have withdrawn your labour," Lord Vetinari went on. "In your case, I am sure this presented a good deal of difficulty." Nobby wasn't certain about that sentence, but the patrician seemed quite amiable. "Can't stand by when the security of the city's concerned, sir," he said, oozing affronted loyalty from every unblocked paw. Lord Vetinari paused long enough for the peaceful everyday sounds of a city apparently on the brink of catastrophe to filter into Nobby's consciousness. "Well, of course I wouldn't dream of interfering," he said at last. "This is guild business. I'm sure His Grace will understand fully when he returns." He banged on the side of the coach. "Drive on." And the coach was gone. A thought that had been nudging Nobby for some time chose this moment to besiege him once again. Mr. Vimes is going to go spare. He's going to go mental. Lord Vetinari sat back in his seat, smiling to himself.
Did you mean that, sir?"
said the clerk, Drumknot, who was sitting opposite.
"Certainly. Make a note to have the kitchen send them down cocoa and buns around 3 o'clock. Anonymously, of course. It's been a crime-free day, Drumknot. Very unusual. Even the Thieves' Guild is lying low."
"Yes, my lord, I can't imagine why. When the cat's away..."
"Yes, Drumknot. But mice are happily unencumbered by apprehensions of the future. Humans, on the other hand, are. And they know that Vimes is going to be back in a week or so, Drumknot. And Vimes will not be happy. Indeed, he will not. And when a commander of the watch is unhappy, he tends to spread it around with a big shovel." He smiled again. "This is the time for sensible men to be honest, Drumknot. I only hope Colon is stupid enough to let it continue." The snow fell faster.
"How beautiful the snow is, sisters."
Three women sat at the window of their lonely house, looking out at the white Überwald winter.
"And how cold the wind is," said the younger sister.
The third sister, who was the youngest, sighed.
"Why do we always talk about the weather?"
"What else is there?"
"Well, it's either freezing cold or baking. I mean, that's it, really."
"That's how things are in Mother Überwald," said the oldest sister slowly and sternly. "The wind and the snow and the boiling heat of summer."
"You know, I bet if we cut down the cherry orchard, we could put in a roller skating rink."
"No."
"How about a conservatory? We could grow pineapples."
"No."
"If we moved to Bjonk, we could get a big apartment for the cost of this place."
"This is our home, Irina," said the oldest sister. "Ah, a home of lost illusions and thwarted hopes."
"We could go out dancing on everything."
"I remember when we lived in Bjonk," said the middle sister dreamily. "Things were better then." "Things were always better then," said the oldest sister.
The youngest sister sighed and looked out of the window. She gasped.
"There's a man running through the cherry orchard."
"A man? What could he possibly want?"
The younger sister strained to see.
"It looks like he wants a pair of trousers.
Ah, said the middle sister.